Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, Overcoming Duality.
Let's continue quickly this morning with our series, Overcoming Duality. And then, this is a serious problem in the church as a whole, duality. And I pray that you'll become familiar with this word. This series is inspired from a book by my father in the ministry, Bishop Dr. Edward Mills. The book is called Duality. Yeah. When I read that book a while back, I felt many people needed to know the things he's talking about in that book. And the grace of God has helped me to even expand it in different areas. Praise the Lord. So if you want to know more about duality, please find that book by my father in the ministry, Bishop Dr. Edward Mills. It's called Duality. It will help you. I want you to know, I'm a man under submission. Most of the things I preach because I hear. I'm a good preacher because I'm a good listener. And if you too, you can also become a good listener, you'll become a good preacher. Praise God. What is duality? Duality is the state of living a double life as a Christian. It's a state you find yourself into where you are a child of God, but you are living a double life. Jesus summarized that nature in the book of Matthew 23, verse 28. He said, in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous. But on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Hypocrisy is pretense. You're pretending. When you say, when we say that somebody is a hypocrite, means they are a pretender. What you see is not really who they are. So Jesus says, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, as a good person. Let me say, as a godly person, because righteousness has to do with godliness. You appear to be a godly person, a godly woman, a godly man. But when people get close to you, they discover that what you are showing outside was a pretense. It's not the reality. Rather, there is wickedness on the inside. A lot of people are nice on the outside, but nasty on the inside. Like when you hear the report people give of them, I'm sure even yourself, you know in your house how people talk about you and how people talk about you outside the house. Or you know of a person, your brother, when you meet people about, people that know him, I mean, they just say wonderful things. Your brother is such a nice guy. He knows how to do this. And then you're asking yourself, are you talking about the person I know? Is that the same person you're talking about? Because at home, it's a different story. It's a different story. Many wives are nice on the outside. People love them. They are so nice. They're beautiful. People, everybody, they are the talk of the town. But the reality on ground, in the house, their husband is having a different experience. Many men are spoken very highly of outside. You must find how other children wish their father was like that person. But the children that are living with this man have another story to tell you about the same person. Am I communicating duality to you this morning? That's the dilemma and the situation that we are finding ourselves into. In other words, people know you a certain way at home, and they know you a certain way at church. Isn't it at church we call you sister so-and-so? Hey, brother this, brother that. When you get home, do people call you brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? Have you seen them? They're calling you a shepherd, brother.
Because they experience another reality with you. Our prayer through this series is that we will go from duality to integrity. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Say with me, integrity. So from the spirit, the soul, the body is blameless. There's harmony at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all fighting for this day when Jesus returns. And one of the things Paul was praying for the Thessalonian church was that there should be integrity in the spirit, the soul, and the body at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the coming of the Lord not find duality between your spirit and your soul, or your body and your spirit. Let there be flow. What gave rise to duality? You see, when you are born again, your spirit is made blameless. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, not in the church, in Christ. In other words, you are born again. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've done that, the Bible says he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A lot of us have read this scripture and we felt very confused because all things are still there. But you see, so the old thing Jesus or Paul was talking about here, or Jesus through Paul was talking about here, was the old things of your spirit. What happens to you when you are born again is that your spirit gets regenerated. God gives you a new spirit. And that spirit, when you die, that's the spirit that will go to heaven. There's nothing you do to have that. Jesus did everything for that. Like, there's nothing you can do to be born again by yourself. The only thing you have to do is to accept Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. The Holy Spirit comes in you and gives you new life. The same life God gave Adam when he was lying there, a mass of flesh, and God breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when you are spiritually dead, you are physically alive and you are mentally alerted, but your spirit is dead, meaning your spirit is separated from God. The day you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Ghost breathed in your nostril, and you become a living spirit on the inside. That living spirit will never die. That living spirit is the person that will meet Jesus when you leave this world. So the Bible is not contradicting itself when it says all things are passed away, everything is brand new. All things, everything that happened from Adam until you give your life to Jesus, is passed away. Your spirit is saved. However, you are a triune being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let me repeat. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Say with me, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
I live in a body.
I live in a body.
Do you understand yourself? I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you being a spirit, I am a spirit, you get born again, your spirit. But your soul, which is something you have, and your body, which is something you live in, are not born again. Those two is where the duality we're going to be talking about is coming from. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? Now, so your body and your mind are a work in progress. They are not born again yet. They have to be trained. They were already used to a certain lifestyle before your spirit got born again. Now your spirit got born again and your spirit is safe. But they are not yet at the level of your spirit. So they have a lot of catch up to do. And that is where you start experiencing duality. So, Paul came across this thing that is going on in the book of Romans 7 verse 20. He says, "The good I will to do, I do not do." So the good is that my spirit is yearning to do something good. My spirit has a desire to honor God, to live for God. How many of you, many times you feel like, I just want to live for God. I just want to be holy. I just want to do the right things. That is your prayer. That is your desire. Until Friday hits. Until Friday lands. Monday you are trying. Tuesday you are trying. Wednesday is okay. Thursday you are flying. Friday you are spoiled. So Paul says, the good I will to do on Friday, I do not do it. Rather, the evil I will not do, that I practice. Like the bad things that I don't want to do are the ones I find myself doing. Say with me, duality. The spirit is ready, but the body and the mind are saying, we are not ready for this. We are not ready for this. Jesus said the same thing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And because the flesh is weak, you are having duality. So we have to do something. Paul came across this problem, and then Paul now is encouraging us. There's something you need to do. And next week, don't miss next week, because I will be showing you how to go from duality to integrity. So, but Paul is saying to us today, you remember Paul has been talking to us since last week. Paul is now saying to us in Romans 12, 1 to 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that is alive. Usually sacrifices are dead. But your body is a sacrifice that is alive. In other words, it feels things, it desires things, it wants to do things, but it must be sacrificed. God can never present your body for you. God does the work in your spirit. But God has given you the responsibility to present your body. Listen to the words of Paul. Therefore, brothers, present your body. You present your body. As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So when you manage to keep your body in shape, as far as God is concerned, you have had a Sunday service. If you can manage to keep your body in shape on Friday till Saturday morning, and you push till Sunday morning, by the time you are coming to church service, you've already had two services by yourself. As far as God is concerned, your main service is the service you offer of your body. It's a very important service, because a lot of people fail to offer that service, and they come on Sunday morning, they start lifting hands. God said, please, I don't want to see these hands. These hands have done a lot of things Friday and Saturday. When you say, Lord, I love you, God said, please, this mouth has done a lot of things. It has drank a lot of things. it had kissed a lot of things. Now you are coming to say, Lord, I love you. Present your body. Meaning present the parts of your body. The parts of your body. Your hands, your eyes, all of that. When you refuse to wash certain things, it's a service. You are giving God a service. When you refuse to touch certain things, you are giving God a service. Long before you come for the Sunday service, you are already a service by yourself. You are already a service by yourself. And some of you can become a good service. You can be a holy service. You can be an acceptable service to God. That you are really working on yourself until you start offering to God something that He can accept. All by yourself. God says, I have worked on your spirit, but as far as your body is concerned, you have some work to do. Then it doesn't end there. Verse 2 says, and do not conform to this world. You see the way you conform every Friday? You want to be everywhere the world is. God says, do not conform to this world. Don't conform. Don't mix with what the world is doing. Don't conform. But be transformed. So don't conform, be transformed. Tell your neighbor, don't conform, be transformed. Don't conform, be transformed. There's something you shouldn't do and there's something you should do. Don't conform, be transformed. How do you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. So now you are introduced to the second thing you have to work on. You have to work on your body. You have to work on your mind. The Holy Ghost cannot do that work for you. God cannot do that work for you. God does the work on your spirit. Remember, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. God saved my spirit through the new birth. But my body, I have to present it as a living sacrifice. And my mind, I have to transform it. Nobody can present my body for me. Nobody can transform my mind for me. It's a work I have to do. The Bible says, calls it working out your own salvation. That salvation is the salvation of your body and your mind. It's an ongoing work. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Are you understanding me so far? So, to the degree in which you have presented your body, and to the degree to which you have renewed your mind, duality will be destroyed. Like, the more you are able to present your body as a living sacrifice, and the more you are able to transform your mind, the less duality will be present in your life. But the more you fight to present your body, like you don't want to work on your body, you just want to flow with whatever your body wants to do, the more you go, you stay away from books, reading, coming to church, things that will affect your mind and help you transform your mind, the more you stay away from such things, you will see that there will be a lot of duality in your life. You will have good intentions to do good things, but when it comes time to do them, you will not be able to do them. And then you will start living a double life. You will appear to the Christians as a Christian because you really desire to be a good one. But as soon as you are out of their presence and you are in the presence of other people, the other nature that you haven't developed, you haven't crushed, you haven't sacrificed will arise. And then you will now start to, when you are with this group, you behave as if you are with them. You don't talk anything about God. But then when you are now with the Christians, you also try to be like them. So you get caught up into two lives. And the Bible calls that duality. There's a man of God in the Bible that really struggled with duality. He struggled with it so much that I want to talk a bit about him today, because I believe when you look at some of these things, you realize that you are not the first to go through it. It has happened before, and it will happen again. This morning, we want to talk about the duality of Samson. The duality of Samson. And you will possibly identify with some of the things he went through, he experienced. And unfortunately, duality took him out of the race before the time. And we can learn from that and realize that maybe I should just come clean as soon as I can. Number one, Samson was consecrated, or shall I say separated unto God. But Samson was also unequally yoked. He is separated unto God. But at the same time, he is unequally yoked with unbelievers. I want you to look at his separation. Judges 13, verse 2 to 5. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." So barrenness is never the end. Never accept barrenness as the end. The angel says to him, indeed now, you are barren. Are you listening? Indeed now, you are barren in your ministry. That's the fact. That's what is going on. Right now, you don't have spiritual children. You don't have this. Now, that's the case now. But it says, but you shall conceive. Do you believe the word of God? I believe the word of God. I believe you can be barren at a certain stage in your life, in your ministry. You don't have people to bring to church. You don't have a lot of things happening. You even do a lot of evangelism, but nothing is happening. But now, you shall conceive. I see somebody conceiving their children in the name of Jesus. But now you shall conceive and bear a son. You shall bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Don't drink wine. Don't eat things that are unclean. And when the child is born, don't shave his head, because he is a Nazarene. And they said, he shall be a Nazarene to God from the womb. Sounds like John the Baptist, like from the womb. And sounds like Jeremiah. Before I conceived you, I knew you. Before you came out, I already appointed you. A lot of you, when we are asking you to serve God, it's as if it is our idea. But you don't realize that before you even came out here, long before your father knew you, today you are telling me, "Hey, my mama says this, hey, my mama says this, my father says this, Long before your father even knew you existed, long before your mother ever thought that there was somebody like you in her womb, God already set you apart, that you should serve him. You should live your life for him. All I'm trying to do is to help you enter your real calling. And you are trying to make it look like I'm forcing you into something. Look at Samson here. Already, God is telling your mother, look, that boy in your womb is called to serve me. What is a Nazarene? An Israelite who has been consecrated to the service of God under vows to abstain from alcohol, to let his hair grow, and to avoid defilement by contact with dead bodies. So when you are a Nazarene, you're not supposed to drink wine. You're not supposed to shave your hair like the way I've done it. Nazarene, I'm far. That thing is far from me, like the east is from the west. I mean, like my own hair. Nazarene zero here. Thank God today, Nazarene is not by hair. It's by the Spirit. Today is by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Because some of you are already saying, but Pastor, you don't qualify. You don't qualify. Are you God? You are saying, I don't qualify. Are you the one who called me? Praise God. So he was not supposed to cut his hair. He was not supposed to drink wine. He was not supposed to eat certain food. Because he was consecrated and separated. I'm trying to show you, when people see Samson walking on the street, they see the long hair, that's a Nazarene. And they respect him. Just by his look, you could not miss a Nazarene because they don't shave. So the moment you see him, you know who he is. So he was separated from the womb. It was clear he's going to serve God. A lot of you, from the moment you start moving, people can already see this person. There's something about this child. There's something about this brother. There's something about this. They can already see. And they're even telling you that, no, you are different. You are not like the rest of us. You start coming to church. You start loving God. You start being separated. Please, let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed of being separated. Don't be ashamed of being different. When God is calling you, God is calling you to be different. I mean, look at this guy. He's not supposed to drink like everybody. And you want to drink like everybody. How can you serve God? You want to be where everybody is. When God is calling you, you must know a certain aspect of the calling. Actually, your calling, the first sign of your calling is separation. God has to separate you from your family. God has to separate you from your environment. God told Abraham, leave this place. Go to a place I will show you. God took Jesus and put him in the desert. God took John the Baptist and put him in the desert. When God is calling you to serve him, God will bring separation. Don't be surprised when you don't get along with your mother anymore. You don't get along with your cousin anymore. You don't get along with people anymore. You don't get along with your girlfriend. You don't get along. God is separating you. God is separating you. Part of your calling is separation. You cannot fulfill your calling if you keep hanging around people that have no calling on their lives. So you can see the calling of Samson. Samson is called by God and Samson is being separated. God is making a clear difference. This one I have chosen him. His hair cannot be cut. He will not drink wine. When you are separated, things people enjoy, you will not enjoy them. Wine is nice. I don't want to lie to you. The Bible says that people drink wine to be merry. Yeah. It makes people feel good. But God is saying, you will not feel good with wine. You will feel good with the Holy Spirit. I feel like preaching all by myself this morning. I'm telling you the truth. Sit down. Judges 13, verse 25 to 20, 24 to 25. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him.
the Lord blessed them. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahane Dan, between Zora and Eshtaol. The Spirit of the Lord began to move. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon your life, you will be in the tavern, but you're asking yourself, what am I doing here in this place? When the Spirit of the Lord begins to move in your life, you will be in your boyfriend's bed. But you will ask yourself, what am I doing here? What is this? This is not where I'm supposed to be. The Spirit of the Lord is moving on you. Something is happening to you. I'm telling you. You'll ask yourself, what am I doing here? Like, you will be the only one. You will feel awkward. Everybody is enjoying. Everybody is having fun. And you are pretending to be having fun. But deep down your heart, you are asking yourself, what am I doing here? Are you listening to me? So this guy, the blessing of God is already upon his life. And the Holy Ghost is already beginning to move upon his life as a child. Sounds like you. You yourself, you know some of the grades you pass. You don't know how you pass them. You don't know how you pass. You can't understand how you pass. Why? The blessing of the Lord was beginning to be upon your life. The hand of God was upon your life. The hand of God. That's why you are where you are now. When God calls you, that's why you say, I want to encourage you to answer the call quick. The blessing follows the call. The blessing follows the call. As you are resisting the call of God, you think you are bigger than the call of God, you are missing the blessing. You are missing the blessing. If I were you, I will get in ministry fast. I will start winning souls fast. I will start inviting people to church fast. I will start doing my visitation, making my calls. That is the work of ministry. That's the calling. You see, God didn't call Samson to be a millionaire. God called Samson to work for his people, the Israelites. So I don't know what you are busy with. So that is the separation of Samson. You can see there's a calling upon his life. But at the same time, as Samson is separated, he is also yoked. And equally. Judges 14, verse 1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah. A woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So you can already see he is an Israelite. And he saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistine. He is an Israelite. He is chosen by God. He has a calling on his life. The Holy Ghost is moving on him. The blessing of God is upon his life. He went down to Timnah and saw a woman who is a Philistine woman. He saw her. It always starts with something you see. He saw her. After he went down, the Bible says, so he went up and told his father. So which means Israelite is up. Philistine is down. So he went down, saw a woman, then went back up to tell his father and mother. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. This is the anointed of God, separated by God, called by God. He has seen a Philistine woman who doesn't believe in God, who doesn't know God, and is asking his parents to marry her for him. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren
or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. Very typical. Is there no woman in the branch where you are? Is there no woman there? Plenty sisters all over the place. But you have rather gone down to Timnah to get a wife. Listen. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. So you see, one major problem of duality, people who don't listen to their leaders. They don't follow the instruction their leaders are giving them. Samson is not trusting his spiritual father and his spiritual mother. He's not seeking their counsel. I mean, he's coming to instruct them. Marry this woman for me. And when they try to correct him, he is not interested. You see how duality is established through stubbornness and an unwillingness to change. Yet the Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. It's very clear in the Bible. I've told you before, just because somebody comes to church, wears John 3:16 t-shirt, doesn't mean they are born again. Doesn't mean they are a believer. You see, and I like the way. Allow me to preach. Please allow me to preach. Shut up. Allow me to preach. Listen, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It's specific about unbeliever. So it's about belief systems. All your problems with the person you will marry will come from what you believe and what they believe. There's nothing. It's not that you don't love each other. It's not that you don't know how to. It's that you don't believe the same things. Most of your problem, in fact, I can say 99.9% of your problem will come from the fact that you believe this, they believe this. It's a belief system. And a lot of you, you're only looking at the beauty, the outward appearance. But can you check the belief system of this person? Like, the Bible says, two cannot walk together unless they agree. Like, we have the same belief systems. You will find people with mighty calling of God upon their lives. Strong anointing upon their lives. When it comes to the issue of marriage, they go east. They go east completely. Mighty man of God. Mighty woman of God. Called by God. Come and see the type of man she wants to marry. A person that doesn't go to church, but she is convinced he is her husband. You even ask yourself, where do you get such conclusions? Like, how do you come to such conclusions? It's the power of duality. Duality will make an anointed servant of God go and choose a Philistine from Timnah and force the church to bless that marriage. What can I do? When you come like that, what can I do? I have to comply. Am I the one who will do? Am I the one who will do? I will ask you the question. Do you do? You say yes. Do you do? Ah, no problem. Go and do. What can I do? You are the one who will do.
Number two. Still on number one. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That thing you are busy with will corrupt your good habit. Your good habit of prayer. Your good habit of the word. Your good habit of coming to church. Your good habit of paying your tithe. All your good habits will be corrupted by that relationship you have started there. If you lack, continue, you will see for yourself. Number two, Samson was spiritual but also carnal at the same time. Remember, he separated and hooked. Number two, he's spiritual and he's also carnal at the same time. And a lot of believers are like that. I tell you, when you find them worshiping, you see, you can say, this one is fellowshipping right now with Michael, or maybe like there's a connection between her and Gabriel. Like all the 24 elders are sharing some revelations with her. So the person is spiritual. That you are spiritual is good. But you see, you shouldn't deceive yourself. You can be spiritual on one side and completely carnal on the other side. You can. And that's what you guys don't understand. Just because you come to church and you sing nice songs and you shout when I'm preaching and you stand when I'm preaching, it doesn't mean that there's no carnality there. Look at Samson. Judges 14, verse 5 to 7. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father. I get it, he has convinced these people they must go and take the woman for him. So he went down. He took his father and mother down there. The places you are taking your parents, you're taking them down to things that they shouldn't go and do. They went down and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, the Bible says, a young lion came roaring against him. This was his first sign. Where are you going? The Bible says, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. But look at the spirituality of Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. I tell you, he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in the hands. Do you understand the type of spirit? The guy is highly spiritual. He knows how to fight in the spirit. When demons come against him, he knows how to fight spiritual warfare. He knows how to scatter the enemy. This is a mighty servant of God. He fights spiritually and he wins spiritually. On his way down to Timnah, he can operate the Holy Spirit. But he's on his way down to Timnah. As he's going down to Timnah, he is fighting devils and he's destroying devils. At the same time, spiritual, yet he's busy with something carnal. Are you listening to the word of God? So don't confuse yourself, because sometimes you just look at, no, but I mean, if God wasn't with me, how come I was able to kill that lion? You can be spiritual and carnal at the same time. It's possible. It's happening to Samson here. Samson is going down to Timnah, yet the Spirit of God comes powerful upon him, and he's able to destroy an enemy. Not with his own power. The Bible says the Spirit of God came powerfully. Galatians 5:16-17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That war is there. 1 minute you are in the flesh, 1 minute you are in the spirit. This thing you are doing in the flesh, and the next thing you are doing in the spirit. Samson is showing it to you. Number three, Samson was mighty in ministry, but weak in private life. Mighty in ministry. Judges 15 verse 14 to 15. When he came to Lehi, the Philistine came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the robes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned by with fire. And his bones broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out with his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Do you know what is 1,000 men? You count 10, you count 20, 50, 100, 200, 300, 4, 5, 6, 7, until 1,000 men. One human being with a jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 people. Mighty in ministry. Mighty. I tell you. He arrives in a place, before long, there's 1,000 people sitting there listening to him preach. Powerful. Powerful. He has exploits in the ministry. But just come down to Judges 16, verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot. The same in Judges 15, he used one jawbone, killed 1,000 people. Judges 16, next chapter, the guy had descended to a prostitute. The person, he went down to Gaza and saw a harlot and went into her. Straight. No detour, no maybe going back. The Bible, he went straight into her. Mighty in ministry, but weak in his private life. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. How can you, the Holy Ghost comes so powerful upon you and you do so many powerful things, the next minute you are going to a prostitute? This is the reality of a lot of servants of God. I'm talking now to people that are calling ministry, people that are serving God in ministry. You will be surprised by yourself. After a powerful service on Sunday morning, the next thing you are busy with pornography. That you will not understand, how can this be happening to me? I've just finished a powerful service. Now I'm busy with something that doesn't make sense. Samson is happening to you. But look at amazing how Samson is. He's busy with a prostitute. The Bible says, when the Gazites were told, Samson has come here. So he's still in the room with that prostitute. And the people of the land heard he's there. They surrounded the place, lay in wait for him all night. So the whole night he's inside. Run one, run two, run three, run four. The whole night. They are waiting for him. At the gate of the city. Listen, they were quiet all night. So they can hear everything Samson is busy with. I don't know if it was a strategy or they were enjoying hearing. I don't know what was going on there. You must ask Samson when you go to heaven. Saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. The Bible says, and Samson lay low till midnight.
Then he arose at midnight. A man that is coming from a prostitution, he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, the place where these guys are waiting for him. He went there, took the whole gate where they were waiting. The gate and the two gate posts, pulled them up, bare and all, and put them on his shoulders. And carried them to the top of the hill facing Hebron. So he moved. Do you understand? Do you know how big the gate of a city is? The man, the people, I'm sure by the time he came, they ran away. He took the gate of a whole city, moved from that place to Hebron. Hebron is in Israel. After fornication with a prostitute, he just took a whole gate. I'm saying mighty in ministry, but weak in private life. You'll be surprised how small things you just go like this. And the Bible says, and afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. This is where his downfall came. So you see, it was something Samson was doing continuously. That thing you are doing continuously while doing ministry, if you are not careful, after you went with the lady of Timnah, you went with the prostitute, you went with this one, you now encounter Delilah. And Delilah has come for you. When Paul saw this problem, he says to us in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and bring it under subjection. He said, nobody will discipline your body for you. Nobody will do it for you. I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. I have preached to a lot of people, I have helped so many people, but myself I'm disqualified. Why? Because of my body. My body is the reason of my disqualification. I have been unable to bring my body under subjection. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. You see, when God starts using you mightily, you will see that you have power. And people will start allowing you. If you are not careful, you will misuse the power of God. You take money from people you're not supposed to take. You will abuse opportunities that God will bring your way because there's power. All things are permissible. After having a powerful service, you are permitted to go and do whatever you want to do. It's permissible. I mean, nobody will fight you. But is it helpful for your ministry? Is it helpful? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is Paul speaking. I can do anything, but I will not allow it to control me. If Samson knew this verse, he was going to understand. I can go to a prostitute. I mean, nobody will stop me from doing that. But will that help me? I can watch porn on my phone at night. But will that help me? I'm allowed to go on Friday and party like everybody in the area. But will that help me? It's permissible. You can do it. Look, you have to understand that the few times you were doing it, nobody came to arrest you. You are arresting yourself. It's just a matter of time. Last point for the day. Samson was mature, but also childish at the same time. He is matured and he is childish at the same time. Why am I saying that Samson is mature? Do you know that Samson was ruler of Israel for 20 years? When people hear about Samson, it's as if they're thinking, in this verse, he did this. The next verse, Delilah. The next thing, he's dead. No. Samson was in ministry for 20 solid years. 20 years. There must be something he was doing right. The Bible says in Judges 15 verse 20, and he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistine. 20 years. He was in charge. I mean, for a church to even last 10 years is an achievement. There are churches the last 2 years and they disappear. Samson was in the ministry 20 solid years. It takes maturity to be in the ministry, to be in a marriage, to be in a thing for 20 years. You have to have matured to some degree to be able to handle that. So you can see on one side, the guy was very matured. But on the other side, there was a child in him. I want to show you his childishness quickly as we close. Judges 15 verse 1 to 7. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father will not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please, take her instead." Samson, you see that wife of Timnah, he finally married her. After he married her, he went away. By the time he came back to go to his wife, the father of the daughter, the father of his wife says to him, "Look, I didn't know that you still like her. So I gave her to your friend." But don't be angry, because her younger sister is here. You can take the younger sister. And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistine if I harm them." So he got very angry based on that thing. I mean, you will also get angry. But look at what he did. Then Samson went out and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes' tail to tail. Like, he would take 3 foxes, tie them up. Take 3 foxes, tie them up. Take 3 foxes, tie the tails. And put a torch between each pair of tails. And like, he light a torch with fire. Then he put the torch inside, like where he put the tails together. Put the torch there. When he had set the torch on fire, he led the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistine and burned both the stalk and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. So he released the foxes with fire behind them. You can imagine when the foxes feel fire behind them, they start moving all over the place. So they start moving, and everywhere they go, the place is catching fire. Everywhere they go. So because Samson was angry that this man took his wife and gave to his friend, he set 300 foxes on fire and released them. I'm sure you will agree with me that if you want to set things on fire, there are simpler ways. I mean, you just take the torch, you throw here, you take the torch, you throw there, and the fire starts doing the work. Why go through the hard work of catching 300 foxes, tying them up, putting fire, then releasing them?
That's very childish. I mean, that's just, it's so childish. A man who has been reigning for 20 years, a leader for 20 years, is running around catching foxes, tying them up. But he's trying to burn the field of this guy. I mean, you just take thing, you throw, take one, you throw, take one, you throw, and you go and sleep. The whole thing will burn. But he wanted drama. He wanted a lot of drama. Then the Philistine said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistine came up and burned her and her father with fire. See that little childish thing he just did. Now the wife and the father are burned alive. It's that childish behavior is costing other people's lives. And a lot of us are just like Samson. When you hear us quote scriptures, you feel the maturity. I say, no, this guy knows God. He knows the word of God. He's powerful. Yet, at the same time, you are just like a child. Do you know what is a child? A child cannot sit down somewhere and be there for a long time. A child, if he sits, more than 2 minutes is a lot. After 2 minutes, he wants to move. He wants to. You see, when you are an adult, you can sit somewhere for 8 hours. You have matured. A child cannot do that. So you find a lot of childish believers. They know a lot of scriptures, but they can't settle down in one church for the whole year. They are here, they are there, they are there, they are there. They know a lot of scriptures, but the knowledge of scriptures cannot make them settle somewhere. The first sign of immaturity is inability to settle down somewhere. It takes a lot of maturity. You see, when people are somewhere, it doesn't mean everything is perfect. It takes maturity to be somewhere for a long time. It's not that everything is perfect. It's that I'm maturing. I'm stronger than the challenges. It is children that keeps running all over the place. So one small thing, 2 seconds, he jumped already. He's gone. You can't see here. You can't see here again. I mean, if you like try to hold your child in one place, you will see for yourself. It's a hard work. I see sometimes mothers in the church, they can't attend the service because they chew that and up and down. They can't sit down. They can't sit down. That's how an immature believer is. I mean, like a mature believer, but a childish believer. Can't settle down. Can't be in one place consistently until you mature them. Yeah, when people listen to you, they can feel you know a lot. Scriptures are flying. You read this book. Some of you even read books I've never read before. But can you be set? Can you settle somewhere? The fact that you can't settle somewhere, it shows you are a childish person. You are mature. Yes, you know scriptures. Yes, you know certain things. But at the same time, you are childish. Because you are displaying childish behaviors. Another thing about children, they cry a lot. I mean, children are not, that is even the first time when they are born, they must cry. That's how we know you have arrived. They cry. A lot of believers are matured, but at the same time, they get hurt and offended so easily. Things make them cry and hurt and offended so easily.
mighty man of 20 years of reign running around with foxes because he's angry. Catching foxes and putting fire. I hope we can say it's just offense. He's angry. And that thing is costing. The wife, he was angry. That wife is now burned. And the father is burned. They are dead. He lost her. He lost her for good. Because of an immature, a childish behavior. I'm looking for the day where believers will be equally matured, not only with scriptures, but also with character.
Yeah.
That you can take the heat and not cry. Not try to draw attention on yourself, but rather be giving attention to others. A lot of us, we just want to draw attention on ourselves. You want people to see you. You want people to know you have left. You want people to know you are not happy. You want people, instead of you giving attention, you want attention. A childish believer wants attention. A mature believer gives attention. All Samson wanted here was attention. Because there's nothing else that he achieved with that thing. Just attention. Why are you so desperate for attention? Why don't you give attention? Paul told Timothy, give attention to reading. Give attention to this. Why don't you give attention to the people that are hurting around? That's a higher level of maturity. Lastly, for the time I have, a lot of believers are matured, but they can't make the decision on choosing a beloved. It takes a high, listen to me, it takes a high level of maturity to settle down with one woman. You know the reason why you haven't settled down? You are a child. You are just being a child. A child doesn't know what to choose. If you take your child in the sweet shop, they want this. They get so confused. That's how they are. You see, some of you, I even understand why you are going to Timna. Because all the beautiful girls that are in the branch are confusing you. You don't know what to do with yourself. So you said to yourself, let me rather go to Timna and see what is happening in Timna. But Timna, as you can see, Timna doesn't end well. Timna doesn't end well. I'm talking to all the brothers that are listening to me. You are unable to settle down with one sister. You are not a man. You are a boy. You are a boy. It is boys that are still playing around with toys. They are playing around. They don't know which one to choose. You are a boy. That's why we respect married men. The reason why we respect a married man, because this guy has settled down with one. There were so many, but he settled down with one. It takes a lot of determination to do that. When you are a child, you can't settle down. You can't settle down. You will start with this one, then see another one. You damn this one, you go to this one. Then say, no, you damn it, you go to this one. And you are always feeling like, hey, if I take this one, I'll miss on this one. Look, this guy, what is this guy's name? David's son. That boy. So are you Solomon? Because you want to go from Samson to Solomon now. It's a very dangerous move you are trying to make. It's a very dangerous move you are trying to make. So you need to know maturity is your ability to take one sister and say, you will be the one. And that's it. Finish and clap. Game over. Every year, I am still looking. Every year, I'm still praying. Every year, I'm still assessing. You are not assessing anything. You are a child. That's, I came to give you your revelation. You are a boy. But you're going to go from boys to men in the name of Jesus. I see you settling down in the church where God placed you. I see you overcoming hurts and offense. And I see you settling down with one brother. Also, those sisters, I'm praying. I'm not ready. You see, it's not that you are not ready. It's that you are feeling that that is too low for you. You are feeling there could be something greater. But I just pray for you that you will not find yourself, you are already 35 and you are still waiting. Yeah. I heard my father in the ministry one time preaching, and he said something that there was a lady in the church, nobody thought she could get married, and she got married. So he asked her, how did you do it? Then he said to her, Bishop, I have one formula. I use one formula with my life. The first is usually the real one. So if I go to a shop, usually the first dress I see, I will leave it and think that, no, how can I see the first dress? How can I see the dress so quickly like that? So I will leave it and go around the whole shop 3 hours. Then realize that first dress I saw was actually the real dress that she was supposed to get. So with time, I realized the first is usually the real one. So I started applying it. The first is the one. I just take it and I move. It saves me time. So I wasted a lot of time waiting for some, supernatural husband. And it didn't happen. Then I realized that I should apply the same formula also for it. I said to myself, no, the next one that comes, I just take and I move. He said, that's how I married right now like this. The next one that came, he didn't know that. He thought maybe, I said, yes, this is it. Let's go. And that's why I'm married. That's why I'm married. You are sitting there, you are waiting. See, by the time you realize, nobody is calling again. Then you start hitting makeup, you start hitting up makeup. And nobody, you see, I told you before, don't lose your prime time. You have a prime time. You must know that things happen during your prime time. News are at the prime time. After that, news is no more news. You have a prime time, and you are hearing people asking you, please, hit the first one, quick, settle it, move. If you like, stay there. If you like, stay there. Then you start coming and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I don't know what is happening. Listen, don't be a girl, be a woman. Don't be a boy, be a man. Make a decision. Settle down in that area. And that way we're going to be fighting duality at every level. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Has God spoken to you? Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I just want you to pray for the spirit of integrity. You know, next week I'm going to teach you on from duality to integrity. But start praying. Father, I pray for the spirit of integrity to come to me now. Come on, begin to pray for the spirit of integrity. No more duality. No more duality. No more duality. Integrity. Integrity. The spirit of integrity. Let it flow in my life. In the name of Jesus. Shama debre zoko pelamenda. Je preze kato pela devele brande. Brasonte kapela devele mando nama. Integrity in every area of my life. Let duality stop. Let duality end. Let there be integrity in my life. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I thank you that I am one. Spirit, soul, and body, we are blameless by the Spirit of God. Duality is being exposed in my life, and I'm pulling out of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious Holy Spirit that is ministering to us right now, helping us right now, healing us right now, saving us right now, delivering us right now. Oh, yes, Lord. I give you praise. I give you thanks. I honor your holy name. What a good God you are. Father, I thank you that I will be mighty in ministry and I will be strong in my personal life. I will be mighty in ministry and strong in my personal life. I will be matured but also wise. Oh Lord, I will not be unequally yoked. Oh Lord, I will not have a double life. Thank you, Father. Duality is being brought under judgment in my life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Before we close the service, you are watching 2 Corinthians 5:17. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away, and I've thought on what that means. Are you in Christ? I know you are in a church, but are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? You can be in a church for 1,000 years, nothing will change. Only when you are in Christ, all things become new. I want to pray for somebody who is saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm done with this life of sin. I'm done with this life of deception. I make it appear before men that I'm righteous, but in secret I am not. I want to do things the right way. I want to pray for you this morning. We all were just like you. A lot of us struggle just like you. A lot of us are still struggling. So there's nothing new. Don't sit there and say, I don't want people. Look, we are all like that. We all start like that. So quickly this morning, you are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to be born again. At the count of three, please raise your right hand. Pastor, I will pray with you. One, two, three, raise your right hand. God bless you. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. You can take your hand down. Now you're already born again, and this morning you just want to recommit your life to Jesus. You just want God back into your life. Why don't you raise your hand also at the count of three so I can pray with you? One, two, three, raise your right hand. I want you to commit my life to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Now repeat this word with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.